Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Contending for Truth Radio. This is Saturday Symposium with Dan Wilson. Dan and I are going to have a great show this morning, but as always, Red Skelton, tell us about the pledge.
I remember a teacher that I had. Now, I went through the seventh grade. I went to the seventh grade. I left home when I was 10 years old because I was hungry. I work in the summer and I go to school in the winter. But I had this one teacher. He was the principal of the Harrison School in Vincennes, Indiana. To me, this was the greatest teacher, a real sage of my time, anyhow. He had such wisdom. And we were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day. And he walked over, this little old teacher, Mr. Laswell was his name. Mr. Laswell, he says, he says, I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester. And it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may, may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word? I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom. Wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United, that means that we have all come together. States, individual communities that have united into 48 great states. 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose. And that's love for country. And to the Republic. Republic. A state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people. And it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people, for which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life, without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation. And justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others. For all. For all. Which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance. Under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer and that would be eliminated from schools too?
Yo, Obama, Pelosi, Reed, and all of the rest of you morons. From the people to the leaders, not the leaders to the people, without threat of some form of retaliation. That's what this is all about. That's why Dan and I do this every morning. That's why we do it on Tuesday, every Saturday morning. That's why we do this on Tuesdays. That's why Rodney Conover and I talk about politics on Thursdays. That's why I teach ladies' Bible class on Fridays. Because these are basic biblical principles. One more time. Yo, Obama, Pelosi, Reed. Let me make sure that NSA's little machines can pick that up. Obama, Pelosi, Reed, and the rest of you morons. From the people to the leaders, not the leaders to the people. Please fax that immediately to the White House. You know, this is Contending for Truth Radio, and we contend for the truth here. We talk about politics. We talk about religion. We talk about justice. We talk about history. We talk about the summer of 1787. We talk about the Constitution. We talk about law. We talk about socialism. We talk about Cuba. You know, we talk about the Ukraine. Ukraine's been there. They're coming back the other direction. Lenin took the Bibles out. Atheistic communism. The Ukraine is putting the Bibles back in. They don't like where they ended up over the last few decades. They're putting the Bibles and Christian ethics back in their schools, folks, because they saw where it ended up. They're taking their society from the leaders, not from the leaders to the people, from the people to the leaders. This is Saturday Symposium with Dan Wilson. Each Saturday morning we come together and we have some good political discussion. For a number of reasons. Number one, I like to have things that Dan Wilson says. I've got things saved that he types, and I like to have things that Dan Wilson, some of his rants, recorded for permanent archive. We're trying to reach out to you folks to get you to wake up, get off the couch. Talk about politics. Talk to the people that don't ever hear. Don't talk to the choir. I mean, it's great. You know, Dan and I, we blog talk. We Facebook. We Twitter. We do other ways of getting the word out and sharing messages. But, folks, we got to get that word out to the people that aren't paying attention. You know, yesterday, I Melissa Bohannon, in one of the groups, COST, a wonderful group that I'm in, West Kane Online Support Team. It's still active and going, and we do a lot of work in there. But she posted a picture of a school in Tennessee that was flying the UN flag in the hallway in front of a bunch of flags, and including in front of the United States flag, which is illegal, folks. It's illegal. Well, I took that post, and I took that picture, and I posted it with the phone number of the school and the email address of the school and a short description of what was going on. And I want to tell you, Dan, that picture is got to by now. It was at 2:88 before I started messing with blog talks timing of the schedule this morning. It was sitting at 288 shares. Teresa Bresky shared it in a bunch of groups. It is looking to me. I wish I had posted that first in Contending for Truth, our page. I would have had some stats on how many people it actually reached. But I would say that we probably reached as many people as maybe a Breitbart or a Blaze article would reach. 288 people, it's got to be up to 300 by now. It's been sharing about 1 minute since yesterday morning. It's been sharing about 1 minute. We've got to be up at about 300. That's a lot of people. We're getting the word out. And I got to tell you, Dan, you know how this works because we've done this before. The phone calls at the school have had to have been absolutely viral because they took the flag down. They took it down, folks. They took it down because we decided we aren't going to take it anymore. You know, this last week, we found out in Buffalo, New York, that the school was pulling down the panties of a 16-year-old girl to check and see how far her pubic hair development had gone. Does that honk you off, folks? Well, I tell you, it honked me off. I'm in the process of doing some offense on this. We've been playing defense on Common Core and education long enough. It's time to play offense, and I hate to tell you this, schools, there's something coming that you can't stop. Dan, I'll tell you about it later. In fact, I'll just bring you into the group, but we're going to go on offense, and parents are going to have the right to say no. You know, when I was a kid, I remember them doing scoliosis testing, and it was, you know, not a big deal. You know, they took our shirt off and they checked down our spine to check for scoliosis. I think it's great that we can try and prevent things. I've had an eye test at school, but you know what? The schools don't know when to stop. And when it comes down, when it comes to taking a 16-year-old girl, and this is she's not an isolated incident. It's been going on. It just finally hit the news. When they start pulling the pants down of kids in the schools and checking for their pubic hair development, it's over, folks. It's over. It is time. It is time for the schools to be neutered back to teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic. Because you see, the schools and the teachers, they've got this idea that they've got to save the world, that there's some parents out there that aren't parenting properly, so they've got to take it over. And it doesn't matter if they overstep their bounds as long as they're taking care of those few that might need it. It is the same pattern as Obamacare. Take the whole thing apart just to make sure that a few have something. Common Core, just to make sure little Johnny, when he moves from Washington to Texas, that he's not behind or ahead on something. Let's take and uproot the whole system, spend billions of dollars, folks, billions of dollars, not on hiring new good teachers, not on putting more books into the classroom, not on making sure that the air conditioner works right so there's an effective learning atmosphere. No, setting up so that they can go in and teach socialism and communism and atheism in our schools. Common Core was designed, folks, designed to make what's been going on in our schools for a long time common, standard. Folks, we're in the fight of our lives. That's why Dan and I do this. And we're going to continue to do this. And NSA, I hope by now you're listening. NSA, National Safety Administration. NSA, pick this up. Yo, NSA, wake up. Listen to this broadcast. This is one you need to listen to. Because the American people are tired. John McCain this morning said, yeah, everybody's they're listening in your home to your conversations. You might as well just get used to it. It's a part of the world we live in. Grow up, folks. Bullcrap, John McCain. John McCain, you just lost every last bit of respect. I don't care how long you spent, 5 years, in Vietnam, in a concentration camp. Maybe they should have kept you. Because that's the most un-American thing I've ever heard out come out of a politician, and that didn't come out of a Democrat. That came out of a Republican. Shame on you, John McCain. Shame, 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 shame. I'll pass it to you, Dan.
Well, thanks, Scott, and I agree with you 300%. I mean, the things I've been hearing this past week have had me hotter than a cat on a hot tin roof. Now they've turned around, and in Massachusetts, three women got married, and they are celebrating. Yeah, three women. They got married, and first of all, isn't that polygamy? At least
that'd be polygamy.
I mean, the last time, between three females, I don't know, I'm getting kind of confused here. But what makes me even more confused is they were broadcasting on TV that one of the three is pregnant. That adds a fourth character into our happy menage a trois, and they're celebrating it like as if it was something great. And this is sick. And then they're broadcasting this like we should all be so happy for these three that are going to have a child. Now, we also got a fourth in there somewhere, and I don't even know what the heck that is. And, because I doubt very much if this is immaculate conception. Kind of believe that God is a little angry himself. And they're asking us to embrace this issue with great. And then the other thing that's going on is they put on TV a video of an abortion. Now, this is beyond sick. You know, they want us now to celebrate the death of a child. I mean, where are we going? What the hell is wrong with people? I am furious. A few weeks ago, I went back and I went to help my granddaughter with her homework. And the BS math problems they're giving a first grader has me so angry. I want to go up and, next school board meeting, they better watch out, because I'm telling you one thing, they're going to have me extremely mad, and I'm going after it. And now that, you know, another thing is going on in Colorado, this poor woman who goes in and helps the elderly, well, she does a lot of programs with people she doesn't know, so she carries around a pistol. And she was in a minor car accident, and the police confiscated her pistol and said that she could not have it back because she doesn't meet their standards, quote-unquote. Well, you know what I'm going to say to you in Colorado? You ever try to take my gun, there's going to be hell to pay. Because you know something, there's something we have a thing in our United States Constitution under something called the Bill of Rights. And the Bill of Rights are our God-given rights. They cannot be taken away by any man or government. This is fact. This is not some Supreme Court justice who's saying a bunch of BS that thinks that because they're a judge and because they are on the Supreme Court, they can change the laws of God and nature. Well, guess what, people? You got a lot to learn. And now the government's going out and trying this land-grabbing crap. Well, you know something? You try to take my land, and you're going to meet with the one really pissed off person with a .45 ready to defend my property. This is violation of the 4th, the 5th, and the 10th Amendment, as well as the 2nd. And these, you know, the government is making a mockery of our Constitution, saying it's too old and out of date. You know what's out of date? Them. And you know who's going to be out of a job? It's them. Because eventually we will win. And you know something? Our numbers are proving it. We're getting there every step of the way. And they're going to say, well, you can't mount a presidential campaign with no money. Watch us. Because we're going to come in there, you might have all the millions of dollars, but we have the support of the people. This is we the people. In order to form a more perfect union. And this is a constitution that has been sent to all the original states. And it was ratified by all the original states. And until you turn around and get it unratified by all the states and by over two-thirds of the states in this nation, you better damn right well live by our constitutional rights or you are going to have one heck of a problem on your hands. This is not a threat. This is in stone. Go around, walk around the mall in Washington. Read Or do they have the capabilities of reading? Everywhere in Washington, of the original buildings that were constructed, the Washington Monument has God's name carved in stone. Our Capitol has God's name carved in stone. Not in one place, but many places. You go to the Capitol Rotunda, what do you look? When you look straight up, what do you see? George Washington is ascending into heaven. Now, you might turn around with your satanic or whatever you want to call it, your lack of morality, and you may put it on TV as if it is something that we should all embrace. But I'll tell you this much. Things are going to change whether you like it or not. And, you know, as long as God is allowing air to breathe through my lungs, I'm going to be there on the forefront fighting tooth and nail. I am furious with this. I am not going to stand it. And we need to do what they did in that movie. You need to open up your windows and say, I am tired of this. I'm not going to take it anymore. And stand up and you tell your legislators that you will not take it anymore. This has gone way beyond sanity. This is going right into a deprived nation filled with perversion. And I am fed up with it. I am not going to allow this happen to a nation that was created by God, who through manifest destiny was set, created to be the guide to the rest of the world. We are destined to be the leaders of this world, and we are destined to have the light of God guiding us every step of the way. There is not going to be any president who's going to bring us down. And now they're talking about this Hillary Clinton, how we're finding out in Benghazi, they watched the slaughter of our people live on TV. And what did they do? It took them over 10 hours before they decided to let a fast response team, to go. And what happened to that? Then the Libyan government decided that they were not going to allow our helicopter to take off. And then they sat on the run a tarmac because our government says you're going to have to listen to the Libyan government over airspace. Well, you know what I have to say about them? What would George S. Patton do if he was told that his planes or his tanks could not take off? He would tell them to bite me and take off. And we have this damn administration who allows this crap to happen, and they watched our people being slaughtered and did not do a damn thing. They may have gotten it away. They may have gotten away from it on Earth here. They're going to have to answer, all of them, to a higher power one day. And I would not want to be any of them. I'm not perfect, but you know something? I could never sit there and watch my people being slaughtered if I had anything to do with it. If I could, I couldn't let anybody be hurt like that. I have something called a conscience. I have something called morality, and that's something our government totally lacks now. And it's time we, the people, start exerting the powers invested by our forefathers and backed by God Almighty. And we need to start standing up and saying, we are not going to take it. We are not going to sit here and watch our nation be destroyed because you, the Antichrist, are trying to destroy this great nation of ours. As for our constitution being out of date, that's a crock of baloney. Our forefathers in the summer of 1787 sat down there, and what they did is they thought out each and every point on how to guarantee that this nation would evolve and become the greatest nation on earth. And they did a great job at it. And they prayed every day before each session of Congress, asking for divine guidance. And they got it. This is the beauty behind it. They knew history. They knew what happened to Babel. What happened to these other societies that had no morality? Every single one of them fell flat on their face because they eventually allowed Satan in to take over. Well, I'm not going to allow that. I refuse to allow that. I mean, last week, as many of you know and many of our audience knows, I was in the hospital with a tumor in my lung. That is what my stepson died of 12 years ago. So I knew I was very close to death. And God pulled me out of the fire again. Not for the first time, not for the second time, not for the third time, not for the fourth time. I was on a search and rescue mission back east because I was a national ski patroller. And while we are crossing a ridge, a block of ice about the size of a house broke off and came down. There was a boulder. I dove behind the boulder. The person in front of me and the person behind me died. And God saved me. If you ask anybody how much I believe in God, that's not even a belief. It's a knowledge that there is a God. And God created this country. It wasn't man. Man just allowed him to move their fingers and their hands. He put the knowledge into their brains so that they could create a nation as great as this one. And by God, now we have Satan trying to attack it. And that is not going to happen. I am not, for those of you who follow my posts, I'm not usually a preacher. I mean, I've always believed in God. I always say something, you know, pertaining to him. But I'm not a Baptist minister. I'm not used to standing in front of people and preaching the word of God. I can't quote the Bible. I've read the Bible, but I can't quote it. You know, but I do know that in my heart that God exists. And we're letting him down. And it's time that we stood up as one. We, the people, united. Not by color, not by race, by nationality. What are we? We're Americans. An American, no, a true-blooded patriot American would allow this to happen. And I am so angry. You don't know how angry I am. I am so angry that 2 days after I got out of the hospital, I was back on the air. I didn't allow this to take me down. I didn't allow it to even slow me down. And I just had to pull back my reins because I needed a little more recovery time. But here I am a few days later, and I'm right back on the firing lines. Why? Because it's worth it. It's more than my life. I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing it for my grandchildren and their grandchildren and their grandchildren after that. Because this is the greatest nation on earth. And what we need to do is just get ourselves back on track and not to allow this to happen again. I am so angry. And what we need to do is to impeach that son of a gun in Washington and throw his petunia in jail. I am. And then that darn Hillary, we need to do the same thing. Everything came back. They interviewed a person who was in special forces, and they said, why wasn't our special forces here? And he said, we can't go because it's controlled by the State Department. Who was in charge of the State Department? Some blonde nutcase who thinks that she's going to run for president? She belongs in a damn pig pen. I'm sorry I'm so angry now, but I'm telling you, she allowed 15 Navy SEALs to be killed, part of SEAL Team 6, who had bravely gone in there and gotten Osama, Freudian slip there. and they allowed them to be assassinated. They allowed our Ambassador Stevens, to be assassinated. What is wrong with that crazy woman? She too needs to be sharing that jail cell with that moron in the White House. With that, I got to calm down a little bit, so I'll pass it back to you, Scott.
Yeah, Dan, don't get too excited now. We need you healthy, my friend. But, man, what you're saying is the truth. You know, we've gotten to a point in our country where it's turned into insanity, folks. And the big part of the insanity is what's going on. The news media is just protecting. They're carrying water for – they're never supposed to – I don't want the news media to carry the water for a Republican, and I don't want them to carry the water for a Democrat. I want them to go after the truth and expose the corruption, real corruption. But in the last couple of decades, especially – further back than that, but especially in the last couple of decades, the news media has carried the water for one side of politics. And they cover up the corruption on that side, and they make up corruption that's on the other side. And that's not to say there's not corruption in Republican politics. I believe there is. But I'm going to tell you, folks, I'm going to take this, and I'm going to turn this a little bit. I'm going to turn it directly towards Texas. Because you all know I love my Texas. But I'm going to tell you there's some insanity going on here, too. in this runoff election. And I'm going to call out some names, folks, because I'm hot under the collar. We've got four very good men running in this runoff election for some very important positions. Sid Miller, running for Agricultural Commissioner. Wayne Christian, running for Railroad Commissioner. Ken Paxton, running for Attorney General. And Dan Patrick, running for Lieutenant Governor. And they've got a candidate that they're running against. Sid Miller is running against Tommy Merritt, and I won't say anything about Tommy Merritt. I haven't seen really anything out of Tommy Merritt as far as campaigning that stunk. Tommy Merritt, he'll admit on his Facebook page, he's a progressive. He's a progressive Republican. He's probably one of the most liberal Republicans we've got. Every poll that I've seen has got Sid Miller so far ahead of him, I don't even know why Tommy's even still running. I don't know how he got as many points to make a runoff with Sid Miller in the primary unless just a bunch of Democrats were voting for him. But he's not a threat, and as far as I've seen so far, he's played it pretty clean. But the other three have got candidates running against them that need to go forward at church Sunday morning. Dan Patrick is running against a man named David Dewhurst. Now, you might remember David Dewhurst for his fame in running against Ted Cruz in the last senatorial election here in Texas. And David Dewhurst got his butt handed to him because he played dirty politics. He played, he lied. He basically lied during the campaign. He lied about Ted Cruz because he was losing. And Socrates so well said, when the debate is lost, slander becomes the tool of the loser. So oftentimes when you see somebody that's really far behind and they're losing, they start throwing out ad hominem attacks. They start name-calling. They start throwing out things that are false. Well, anybody that listens to this show and any of the other shows knows that I've been supporting Sid Miller. I've been giving him the majority of my time. In fact, I hadn't even really been paying much attention to Dan Patrick or Ken Paxton. It's been about Sid Miller and Wayne Christian because I believe those are two of the most important races we've got here in Texas. But a few weeks back, David Dewhurst started playing his crap. And he should be absolutely, positively ashamed of himself. I don't know what his Christian values are. I don't know if he goes to church on a regular basis, but he needs to go forward because he's lying through his teeth. You see, Dan Patrick used to be, he used to have a different name. Dan Patrick was a radio host for years. He used a stage name, as many people do. John Wayne's name was not John Wayne. It was Marion, help me, Dan, Marion Morrison. You know, and if John Wayne had ran for president, he would have ran under John Wayne. He wouldn't have ran under Marion Morrison. Well, Dan Patrick is running as Dan Patrick because for 30 years he's been going as Dan Patrick. Well, a few weeks ago, David Dewhurst started bringing that up and trying to make it look like Dan Patrick is trying to hide something. Well, PolitiFact came out and gave David Dewhurst a pants on fire for that one, big time. And, you know, that was okay. That was a sleight of hand, you know, nonsense game. We see that a lot of times in politics. I would call it shady politics. I would call it bad character myself. David Dewhurst, you would on that role, no matter what you ever run for, you would never get my support. If you win this primary, which I highly doubt, you're very far behind right now, and I think you're pushing yourself worse. I wouldn't help you. I would vote for you on the ballot when it all came down to it over the Democrat on the ticket by a long shot. But it would not be a vote for you. It would be a vote against the Democrat. But a few years back, Dan Patrick did a charity event raising money for young kids. And he literally gave his shirt off of his back to help raise money. And David Dewhurst picked that up, and he ran with it, showing pictures of Dan Patrick shirtless and with people painting on his body at that charity event. And tried to make it look like Dan Patrick's got bad character. Now, I'm telling you right now, David Dewhurst, I'm waiting for myself to calm down, but I've got the phone number to your office. And you are going to be getting a phone call from me this next week. And by the time I am done with you, and by the time I am done finding out where you go to church and calling the church office and telling them, I've got a big problem with this man as a Christian, you're going to be apologizing. Because I have moved from California to Texas for a lot of reasons. And one of the reasons is people in Texas are supposed to have a little bit more couth, a little bit more manners here in Texas. And, sir, you've made yourself look like a nutty, far-left California idiot here in the state of Texas. Now, I've had a bunch of phone calls over my lifetime. But I'm going to tell you, the last one that I had yesterday afternoon with somebody that used to support you shows that you've done some severe damage to yourself, sir. Because that person that used to support you is furious with you. And I've also had three Facebook chats with people that used to support you, who all three said the exact same thing. That's the last straw. Well, actually, two said that's the last straw. One said that's the camel, the straw that broke the camel's back. Same thing. You've done more damage to yourself, sir. I cannot wait for this May 27th runoff to happen. I cannot wait to see how badly you lose. And it will be directly related to your campaign tactics. And Ryan Sitton is running against Wayne Christian. And Ryan Sitton's doing the exact same thing. He's lying about Wayne Christian's record and character. Because Ryan Sitton is way far behind in the polls. And I love a good campaign. Come out and if your opponent has got something that you can use against them, use it against them. I think you should do that a whole lot less than you use what's positive about yourself. I think your campaign should be about why you're the better candidate. I think that's good character, folks. But when you start using lies against your opponent, that's bad character, and it says a whole lot more about you than it ever said about your opponent. And what I don't understand, Dan, is these people don't realize people pretty quickly find it out. Well, in the last race, Ken Paxton is running against Dan Branch, and I haven't had any problems with Dan Branch up until now. He's been kind of like Tommy Merritt. He's there. He's the opponent. I like my candidate better. Actually, between Dan Patrick and Ken Braxton, they're not the most perfect campaigns. Michael Smith loves Dan Patrick, and because of that, I've got a high respect for Dan Patrick through Michael Smith, but neither one of them, to me, are outstanding candidates. But I have supported them because I believe they were the better candidate. But Ken Braxton is running against Dan Branch, and Dan Branch pulled the boner of all boners. You see, a Democratic lawyer wrote a letter to the SEC asking them to investigate Ken Braxton on a campaign violation. Just asking them to investigate. The FCC hasn't turned around and investigated. The SEC hasn't even responded yet. But the Dan Branch campaign put that out as if the FEC was investigating Ken Braxton. Now, I can send a letter. I could send a letter to the FEC asking them to investigate Dan Branch. That doesn't mean anything. You could, Dan. I could have to tell you, send a letter. But they picked it up and ran with it. But I'm going to tell you something. Bob Price, that works for Breitbart, Texas here. I'm telling you, I'm getting to love this man more and more, has got an article on it. We're going to post that article on Contending for Truth Radio about this insanity. Because Dan Branch, Ryan Sitton, and David Dewhurst, you might be listening because I'm going to email this link to you after we're done with the show. The three of you should be ashamed of yourself. You know, we had a president that Dan and I mention occasionally. What was that guy's name again? The one that rode the horse. Oh, yeah. Ronald Wilson Reagan. Who, in my opinion, did a great job as an administrator. He did a great job in office running things like an administrator is supposed to do. He was good at that. I believed and agreed with his philosophy, his political philosophy, his social philosophy, his sovereignty philosophy. I agreed with those things. But beyond that, he was a great administrator. He accomplished a lot of things. He lowered taxes. He actually would not have ended up with quite the budget deficit had not Congress spent 7 to 8% more. 7 out of 8 years than what he budgeted. Congress was the one that was spent more money, not Ronald Reagan. But the one most important thing he did was he brought the concept of good character back to this nation. Dan Branch, Ryan Sitton, and especially David Dewhurst, you are no Ronald Reagans. You've got bad character. You should be ashamed of yourselves. And I'm going to tell you, you've done yourselves some incredible damage. Because I may be new to Texas, but I got an incredible network of Texans. Thank you, Michael Smith, for introducing me to a lot of people. And I'm going to tell you right now, the word on the street is not your attacks. It's your stupidity. That's what people are talking about. They're talking about your bad character. That's what they're talking about. David Dewhurst, you helped Dan Patrick with your stupid little music video. You helped him. I will continue day after day to post that video because I believe it helps Dan Patrick. I believe it does just the opposite of what you wanted it to do. Come on, Texas. It is time for enough to be enough. It is time for Texans to stand up and call this nonsense out. Because it goes right back to what Dan was talking about. How can we as Republicans, expect better character out of Hillary Clinton, out of Barack Obama, out of Nancy Pelosi, out of Harry Reid? We know not to expect good character out of them. We expect them to lie, cheat, and steal to get their way. We expect them to use an ends justifies the means mentality. That's what the left does. But it infuriates me when I see it coming from the other side. Because we're supposed to be better than that. We're supposed to be a Christian-based, ideologically based party who has a belief in the Creator and who stands better. We don't fight the way they do because we've got better standards than that, and sometimes that messes us up. Because we won't make an effort to steal an election. Now, that's not to say there's not some Republicans out there in the past that have not voted twice or cheated. But organizationally, we don't encourage that. The other side does. They don't care. However it takes, atmosphere, attitude. One more time, David Dewhurst, shame on you. Absolutely shame on you. Bad character, bad boy, go sit in a corner. It's one thing, folks. It is one thing to run a campaign. And I'm all for if your opponent's got a weakness, exploit it. If he's got a real weakness, exploit it. Dan Patrick's got some weaknesses. There's some things. He voted for a couple of bills that I don't like. I really believe he really kind of just rearranged the deck chairs on the Titanic when it came to that bill last year for Common Core, a Seascope. I believe it could have been a lot better. I don't believe he did his best investigating. I don't believe he did his best research. I think he should have probably hired somebody with a little bit more lawyer skills to write the bill. I've got some problems with it. Exploit that, David Dewhurst. And I'd respect you. I may not vote for you. I may not support you, but at least I would respect you. You're destroying the basis of respect. You'll never get one more iota of my help. No matter what you do, if you're the only Republican running, you won't get my help. You get my vote. Because when it all comes down to it, I'm always going to vote against the leftist. But you won't get my time. You won't get my effort. And throughout the rest of this campaign, you will get my rhetoric. I've posted 3 days now, and I'm not stopping. And I've got some friends, got some great friends, Dan, that support the man. But I am watching that support dwindle as well. I'm watching some people that have been supporting him pretty solidly really start to dwindle on the defense. They're not defending him. Pass it back to you, Dan.
Well, I have to agree with you, Scott. You know something is the rhinos out there have turned around and made a mockery of what our party stands for. And our party, see, when I make my post, I go out of my way to make sure that I'm telling the truth. And on occasion, I have to admit it, I make a mistake. I'm only human. But when I find, when somebody points that out, I am also man enough to stand up for that. And I don't hide, or I don't try to run with the mistake. What I do is I go out and I repost. And I say, I made a mistake. And I write the correction in, and I move on. You know something? I gain more respect by doing that than trying to hide what I messed up on. Now, I'm not saying I'm perfect. And I'm not saying I had a perfect life. I have made my mistakes. Like every single one of us. There's only one person who has ever walked on this earth who was without sin. And sadly, 2,000 years ago, he left us. He ascended into heaven, but he still is here. We may not be able to see him, but we know he is here in our hearts. And then I choose. 2 years ago, we all know I had a near death experience and was in a coma for 6 weeks. And I made a pledge that from that day forward, I would dedicate my life to him. And I have done that. And everything that has happened to me since, which has been wonderful, has been the result of that. And, you know, I will continue this fight for righteousness, for what is right in this nation. I will not back down to that. I don't care how much, and NSA, please listen. I don't care how much you threaten me. I don't care what you do. And your DHS, you can take your 5 billion bullets and put it where the sun don't shine. Because it's not going to stop me. It's not going to stop any of us. The more you fight us, the more resistance you will feel. And this is boiling right back down to what took place in 1775. And eventually you're going to push it to the point where the people will say no more. And I will be happy to place my name on a declaration describing our independence if we need to abolish you as our government, because we can reestablish with our Constitution, the Constitution made by the people for the people, and we'll continue on without you. I mean, I am so angry. And what do I see? The longer it's going on, I see that lack of morality increasing. I'm seeing our nation just going down the sewage. And now they're talking about martial law. Go try it. That's all I have to say about that, is go try it. Because the militias are forming, the people are getting too ready for this. And if you declare martial law, it'll be the biggest mistake you ever made. Because the people are ready. And we're prepared to do what is necessary. I'm a pacifist by nature. I can't hurt a fly, but I can defend my family, and I will do that. And if anybody tries to hurt anyone in my family, there is not a place on earth they can hide. Kid, I'll track you down, and I will find you. And then there's going to be problems. This is not a threat. As I said, I'm not aggressive. Anybody who knows me, I'm more of the flower child type person. I don't like aggression at all. I want peace in our nation. But you push us far enough, and you force the game, then things change. And thank God all special forces have sided with us, not with you. And I can't do anything. It takes my whole being just to remain here on earth. But I do know there's a lot of people ready to pick up arms if necessary. And all I want to do is get rid of that maroon in Washington along with all of his other cronies and go away. Pitch up your cards and leave. Let this nation be run by good, solid patriots who believe in God, who believe in our nation, who are not trying to destroy it. And Hillary, you know something, I hope you do run. Because I will love to watch and be part of tearing everything you've done apart. Because I'll tell you, I know what happened in Benghazi. I know what happened in Extortion 17. And I will make, by God, I will make by sure as that I'm going to let everybody I can know. I will print out flyers and pass them around on the street if I need to. Because the truth will be known and it will be spread. I've calmed down a little bit. This is really hitting somewhere real close for me. You see, I love my country. I love my country more than anything on earth. From the very first days of me being on this planet, at 3 years old, I was listening to patriotic songs. I was arguing politics when I was 9 years old. This is nothing unusual for me. And I stand behind my candidates. And today, after some hard lessons learned along the way, a half century later, I'm sitting here, and I know what it's like to be a patriot. I know what it's like to have the backbone to stand up for what I believe. I know what it's like to have people behind me, and I know, you know, Scott and I both know there are thousands of people who listen to us, who rely on what we say, because we're the messengers that Jesus Christ had placed on this earth. And it as a messenger is a great, great, great responsibility on our part. And we hold that responsibility with honor. You see, there's something called honor, and there's something called integrity. And nobody, you can take me out, you can take Scott out, you can take all, you know, but there'll always be another person to replace us who believed in us enough to pick up the sword and keep on and carry on with what we left. Andrew Breitbart was, in my opinion, he was taken out by some of these evil people. And what happened? You created a martyr. You only increased his power. You did it to Tom Clancy. What did you do? You only increased his power. Because we're picking up that flag and we're continuing on. You can kill who you want, but you will never stop the voices. Jesus Christ mentioned it. And he said, you know, you can try to silence the crowd, but what will happen is rocks and stones will start to speak. And this is where you are. We will not stop, and we will not ever, ever stop. You can try what, you know, to intimidate us through what's going on in Russia and in the Ukraine. But you know something? We're more powerful than that. We're Americans. You see, we are born with this in our blood. We are patriots. We're used to taking on odds that are stacked against us. Now let's go back to, you know, the beginning of a revolt against, you know, when we decided that we are going to be our own people and we are going to be separate from the British government. We started out with a handful of farmers with nothing. And in 1774, I believe, a little merchant ship can't even call it a ship, it was a boat, came on and challenged the British Line Fleet, who was designed to stop anybody from entering into a port. Well, this little boat came in there and ran around and enticed one of the British ships to follow them. And they ran into ground, and they sent a real clear message. That was the Gatsby, World War II, when all was lost in the Asiatic fleet. A handful of Americans were left behind on 87-foot boats, known as, affectionately in the Navy, as mosquito boats. They were made out of plywood. There was nothing to them, very little protection. But what they did have is speed and maneuverability. So they would come up to the Japanese ships, and Japanese had so much trouble attacking these little boats that it enabled these little mosquito boats to get in close enough to fire their torpedoes, turn around, and run for the hills. And they raised havoc on Japanese shipping. And the most famous of those mosquito boats was something called PT-109. And this is what the American spirit is all about. Taking on a far superior force and winning. And coming out as the top. Now, our president and his cronies may think they have the power, but they don't. Because we have the heart. They don't know what honor, integrity, and conviction is. And without those three, you can't win. We can, because if you ask Scott, every atom in his body, every little thing about him is dedicated to this cause. And that's the same thing with me. And one of our co-hosts, Jennifer Montrose, and Rodney, and Conover, and I can go on and on and on. You know, Kim Paris, D Rock Country. All of us are, you know, you ask any of us, we believe this with every ounce of our body. We believe this in our hearts. And this is, we don't do this for glory. We aren't doing this because we want to be a pain in the neck. We aren't doing this for, you know, name recognition, money, or anything. We're doing this because this is what is right. And God is behind us because he knows that. And he knows that the people on our opposition have no morals. They have no integrity. They have no honor. And it's up to us, the carriers of the torch, to make sure, to ensure that it never, ever goes out. And we will guard it with our lives. And as I said, you can take one of us out and somebody else will replace it, us. It doesn't matter. I mean, what does matter is in the end that our Constitution remains and the heart of this nation remains. And I may not see it, Scott may not see it, we don't know. But all that counts is that the nation survives. and I'm putting those in Washington on notice. And it's not just the Democrats, it's the Republican rhinos as well. Your days are limited. We will vote you out. We will forget you. We will cast you aside as if you never existed. And you will never have the opportunity to take over and destroy our nation as you have done today. And we will take everything away from you, all your votes, with your cushy retirement funds and all that baloney is going to be gone. You are not going to have these great retirements and be able to go on the tour of giving lectures, because by the time we're done with you, nobody will want to listen to you. And I'm telling you, I'm putting everybody on notice. If you are not a righteous individual, your days are limited. You know, Governor Scott, I entrusted in you, and you broke that trust. And by God, I'm looking hard as I can to make sure when you come up for re-election that you will not be re-elected. But I'll find somebody with honor and virtue. And that person, he or she, will take over and do what is right for the state of Florida. I was appalled by what I saw with my granddaughter, what she was learning, what being taught. And my mission right now is to find somebody who has the honor to lead the wonderful state of Florida where it belongs. And you know something, Scott? I know you're very proud of Texas. I'm also very proud of Florida. We have a great state, very good people. And you know something? You were talking about how you respected farmers and the whole center part of Florida. That's all it is. It's farmland. I mean, when I was working at the end of my career, as you all know, I came down with a heart attack and I was no longer able to captain a boat and I was no longer able to fly planes. So I needed a career quickly. And just turns out I ended up being a heavy equipment operator. And I was sitting there working one day, and all of a sudden I looked out of the corner of my eye, and I see a big black bull. And he was charging at me in my loader. So I had to I figured I didn't want him to hit the side because he would take out all the hydraulics. And I figured trying to describe to my boss why all the hydraulics were taken out of my machine, and would he believe that I ran over by a bull? Well, that sounds like a tall story. So I figured the best thing was to put my bucket between him and the bull and me. And that's what I did, is I turned into him. And I put the bucket up and figured that he was going to have one hell of a headache when he ran into it. And he stopped at the last minute because I put it in neutral and I revved the engine up and it scared him enough that he changed direction and he ran off. And then I saw the farmer, the rancher, following with a pickup truck, and there was two more of them on those little ATVs trying to rustle up this this escaped bull who was not having it. He didn't want to go home. He was having too much fun running around and terrifying people. You know, I had to move gators and, rattlesnakes and cottonmouths and all sorts of critters. So I know what the interior of this state looks like. And it was wonderful to see all the farmers. And it is terrible to see how developers are wanting to take over that. And our farmland is getting smaller and smaller. Why? Because they can't compete against the large companies. And their property becomes more valuable for developments than it does for continuing on with their work that they've done for generations upon generations. And this is what our government wants. You see, they want to take away the individual farmer or the individual rancher so that they can consolidate it down to a select few of which they can control, because they want complete control over us. And they will intentionally starve us out until they can accomplish their goal. They did this in Germany. They did this as far back as the periods of the Romans and the Greeks. This is a common tactic that's been used for thousands of years. I'm not going to let that happen. I'm going to stand up for the proud people of this state, as you are doing it for Texas and as Jennifer is doing it for Alabama, and, you know, Herman Cain is doing it for Georgia. And you have us in every state. You know, in some states, they may not be heard because the left is taken over. But they're there. Trust me, they are. And they're only waiting for the marching orders. You know, everybody says, well, New England is totally blue. Well, you got two states up there who are holding on with what America stands for. You have Maine and you have New Hampshire. And both of New Hampshire has the smallest government per capita in the nation. They believe in small government, and they will keep it that way. Maine has it follows the Second Amendment law, right closer than any nation in the country. And you are not going to change either one of them. I know I've spent a lot of time in both states, and I love those people. And my shout out to all of you in New Hampshire and Maine, you know, keep up the good work, because we're here, and if problems arise, you can count on us to come up and help. Because we're there, we're your fellow patriots, and we're going to defend any place that comes under attack. This is, you know, I do this. As I said, because I'm a proud American, and I ask each and every one of you, how proud are you? Are you proud enough to put your own feelings aside, your shyness or whatever? And I'm asking each and every one of you, we need you. We need you to get out there and spread the word. Your car's getting clean, perfect time. Because there's a bunch of other people standing there who don't have anything else to do. So pick up conversations, speak loud enough that everybody can hear and get them to listen. You're in the lines at the grocery store, great time. Because it's always a picture of one of them morons on one of them tabloids. And speak up your mind. Spread the word. You're at a school board meeting, get up there and speak. You're at a town hall meeting, get up there and speak. People will listen. People will follow you. And eventually you're going to see somebody else that says, well, by God, they feel the same way as I do. And I am so pissed off, I'm going to run for town hall, you know, for the city council. And you're going to say, you know, thank you. And you're going to back them up. And you're going to support them. And this is how we're going to win. Every single one of us can do something. Even gimps like me. You know, I'm allowed 20 minutes of activity 3 times a week. And yet I'm reaching thousands of people. You see, I took my handicaps and I turned them into assets that can help our nation. So if I can do it, all of you can. And I ask each and every one of you, grab that torch and help us carry it. Make our ancestors proud of us. Not humiliated like they are today. Our forefathers are rolling in their graves. They're sitting down there going, why are you allowing this to happen? And get out there and make sure, fight these jerks. Make sure that they know, and I'm asking of people, because I know a bunch of you on the left feel the same way as we do. You've been duped. We are, and we've been duped. And it's time to say it's we the people again, not we the government. Take them jerks. You know, if you look around, you find the highest per capita incomes of any city in the country. D.C. is number one. Why? Because it's coming from our tax dollar. It comes from you and I. It comes, we're paying. We're giving them money out of our blood and sweat that we gave to earn. And is that right for some politician? So can buy his Audi and go and play on some exclusive golf course while we're working our tails off, we're sweating our tails off, or we're laboring because companies are expecting us to put out twice the amount of work because they can't afford to hire more people. Why? Because they're overtaxated. They're overregulated, and most of their money has to go to the federal government. 80% of what each and every one of you earns goes to Washington. And you know something? You're paying for the highest per capita income. Not them. It's you and I. I am fed up with paying for these jerks to have their lives as, yeah, I want the distribution of wealth, but I want it done the right way. I want people to work, earn, have the opportunity to make whatever they want of themselves, not being told by a government who is filled with that a bunch of people care nothing but for themselves. I want each and every one of you who can sit down there and watch your child grow up and they have a dream and watch that dream come through to fruition. And for the one percenters who are lucky enough, they can watch their child reach for the sky, reach for heaven, and make something great of themselves. Or for the just the child who can just walk out there, who nobody said could do anything, who's standing up, holding on to a good job, and supporting his family, watching the pride in their face. You see, this is what America is about. It's not about giving them a free ride. It's so everybody has a chance. Because you know something, that pride can't be bought. It has to be earned. With that, I'll pass it back to you, Scott.
Wow, Dan. Are you still going? Well, that's the first time on Blog Talk Radio you got an applause from the audience. I've been working on doing some things like that, throwing some things in. And speaking of which, I'm going to play something right now for two reasons. Number one, because you brought up ranching. And number two, we got a special show, and I'm going to use this as an introduction to a special show we got on coming on Monday. I want to make sure that it sounds right across Blog Talk. Sometimes, you know, you put some of these clips in here, and they don't really sound right. But, Dan, I believe that you will recognize this, and I'm sure you'll be able to tell me who sings this when it's over. There we go. Sounded pretty good. Dan, who was that?
You got me on it. I think it might have been Roy Rogers or what was his name? The singing cowboy.
Gene Autry. You know, I think Gene Autry sang that one, but that wasn't him. That was Eddie Arnold singing that. And Monday, Dan, we've got an incredible show. It's a special broadcast of Contending for Truth Radio. We don't have a regularly scheduled Monday night show. But it's going to be the Terrell Graham story. And it's a story of property rights and property the abuse of property rights. And while all this is going on with BLM and the federal government coming in and thinking that they're going to take 90,000 acres of land from Texans. and then say, while you're at it, ship this over to BLM, would you? Because all I have to say is come and take it. If BLM thinks they're going to get anywhere in Texas with stealing Texans' land, I think they've already found out they barked up the wrong tree, and it looks to me like they've way back down. Well, same thing goes with Texas government taking property from regular citizens, or Texas government allowing encroachment or abuse of somebody else's property. And I'm not going to try and describe the story, because that's why we're going to have Terrell come on Monday night and tell his story. But basically, he's got a ranch. He's a cattle rancher. He's been singing the cattle call all his life, his family has, for 120 years on this piece of property. And basically, there's a development that's gone on next door, and they want to pump their wastewater across his property. Now, I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to figure out that that's dumb. But he's been fighting this for a long time. The neighboring properties fought it for a while, and they kind of got wore out because they weren't getting anywhere. So we are going to help Terrell bring this story up and get more people aware of what's going on. And it's going to be an incredible story. You want to join us Monday night, same time as our other nighttime broadcasts. It will be 9 o'clock Texas time, the rest of the time zones for the other 49 states, because there's 49 states and then there's Texas. But we're going to have a great time with Terrell. He's a great guy, and he's a hard worker, and this is a story that needs to get out. And that's the song that we're going to use as we intro that show. So I kind of wanted to make sure that it sounded good. It's an older song. Of course, I'm sure that was put on a record, a vinyl record at some point, and then it was digitized, and it sounds like it's got a little bit of an echo to it. But we got Leanne Rimes is going to finish the show with her version of Cattle Call. That's a little bit clearer. I knew that. But we want you to tune in, Contending for Truth Radio, here right at this network. In fact, the link is already there. If you go down, if you're watching, if you're listening to us on live or broadcast, our archive at this point, you can go down and find the Terrell Graham story, the link right down there below you as you go, or click on anywhere on Contending for Truth Radio on the page, and it'll take you to the main page, and you can find the link there. So that's going to be Monday night at 9 o'clock Texas time, and you won't want to miss it. We're gonna listen to the story, and we're going to get it out. There's some people that have been on this story. The news is starting to pick it up. The Examiner.com has got a great article on it. The local news down there where Terrell and Pat Graham are has covered a little bit. But we're going to work really hard on making sure that a lot of Texans know it. That's what we're good at. We're going to make sure that we get this story out. So we're going to give Terrell the opportunity to tell his story. And because, it goes right along, Dan, with what we've been talking about. This is kind of insanity. You know, I watch a lot, and all you leftos that might be listening to this at some point, NSA, probably somebody's listening to it. Barack Obama, you might be listening to this. You're not going to get my kids. You cannot get my kids with your leftist propaganda, because every day I combat that with them, you see. We watch a lot of Andy Griffith and Leave It to Beaver, because there's some basic concepts on there. But, you know, as we look back at Andy Griffith and we look at the law enforcement, yeah, sometimes they were teased because they were small town, but there was a lot of common sense there. And there's a lot of common sense in those shows. And we've lost that. today. Our country doesn't we don't recognize our country as that today. We got a lot of people that really don't even stop and think about what is common sense. You know, Dan, you and I use the word common sense a lot, I'd imagine, and here again I stand at the back of my garage looking out over the houses behind me. I would imagine if I walked into each one of those homes and had conversations with those people, there's a lot of them that probably have never even stopped to think about what common sense is or ever even use the term. People just kind of wander through life. They watch their sitcoms. They play their video games. They jump on their trampolines. They swim in their swimming pool. They're living the good life. And that's great because we live in a great country. We live in a great country that's in the middle of an incredible economic depression right now. And we're still living good. There's two cars here in our driveway. I got a computer that I use for the studio, a laptop. I've got a computer, a good-sized PC that I use for my daily thing. I go back and forth. Sometimes, Dan, when you and I are chatting on the Internet, on Facebook, I'm typing in one computer in the chat box, and then a minute later, I'm sitting in there at my PC talking to you in the same chat box on another computer. You don't ever know the difference. As far as you're concerned, I might be on the same computer. You know, I got a keyboard sitting here. We got this thing behind the keyboard because I'm in the garage. I got my studio set up in the garage. Smart water, hot water heater. You know, I was talking to the girls the other day about the hot water heater because it's something new. In the scheme of man, it is something new. 60, 70 years ago, not everybody had a hot water heater. I don't know how long they've been around. I would say about 60, 70 years they've been around, maybe 80 years they've been around. I'm not quite sure. I'd have to look that up. But I know that if you go back 60, 70 years ago, I know that not everybody had one. That's for sure. There was a lot of people that didn't have them yet. We take these things for granted. You go to a foreign country, they don't have hot water heaters. Most of the people in the world, I would say the large majority of the people in the world don't have a hot water heater, folks. Something we take for granted. We turn on the hot water and then we complain because it doesn't show up fast enough. You know, our hot water heater's out here in the garage and the kitchen's on the other side of the house. Takes a good minute for the hot water to reach the kitchen sink. And what do? We sit there and go, oh, this takes too long. We're impatient. When there's people around the world that in order to have hot water, they have to start a fire and boil it. You know, and that's just a small thing. I'm a firm believer in when upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and we'll provide you what the Lord has done. I'm a firm believer, Dan, and you said it twice. You love this great country, and I do too. I love this great country. I look out here, and I'm going to talk about a couple more little things like that. I look across the street, and Dan, I don't know why, but somebody didn't fail to mention to me when we got ready to move to Texas the size of the hail they've got down here. They got Texas-sized hail. They got hail the size of a golf ball, sometimes the size of a softball. Well, I look out the back again, and I see all these roofs. And there's all these patch jobs on the roofs behind me. And this guy behind me, I know he told us the other day, last year he had his roof replaced. Look back there, I got a house back there that's got like 8 patch jobs on it. I got to post it on the Internet. It's got patch jobs all the way up to the top. The house next door has got a bunch of patch jobs on it. I think our roof looks a little bit brand new. I think maybe they've replaced it recently. We probably had some patch jobs on ours. But, you know, patch jobs, the roof. You know, we live in houses where the water, no matter how hard it rains, it runs off to the side. There's most of the people in the world don't have that, folks. Most of the people in the world barely have a roof over their head. There's a lot of people, millions and millions and millions of people. When it rains, they're not totally entirely dry. They're under a housing shelter. When I worked in Trinidad, I saw it worse. I've been to Tijuana, Texas, to Mexico, and I've been to Ensenada, Mexico, and I've been down into deep into like Guaymas, Mexico, and I've seen poverty that goes on down there. But the biggest poverty I ever saw was in Trinidad, down in the Caribbean. And, you know, as you leave the port of Spain, which is the capital city, and it's in the north east northwest corner of Trinidad, the island of Trinidad, and you go south of there, you pass through about 5 miles of row after row after row after row after row of all these houses, and they're made out of plywood and cardboard and aluminum siding. And it rains a lot down there, folks. I guarantee you the water runs into the houses. I've never seen anything like it. As you go through there, there's a smell that you would not believe. The only way I've ever been able to compare it, only thing I've ever been able to compare it to, is if you imagine a bad baby diaper, a bad one, and a turkey farm. Combine those two smells together. And for miles and miles and miles, you go through this smell. And severe poverty. Those people down there, the lucky ones are living on, well, 10 years ago, the lucky ones were living on $7 to $8 a day U.S. money. Poverty, folks. We really don't have that kind of poverty in the United States. We think we do, and that's not to say there's people living on the streets, and we want to give our heart out to them. But there is very, very few in the great scheme of what is America that are living in that kind of poverty. The majority of us, even those living below poverty level, and I gave up any kind of income 10 years ago to take care of my nieces full-time. I'm a full-time, my sister calls me her stay-at-home mom. And I've got some income that I make, but I don't live on a big income. But I'm so blessed. In fact, I got two computers. I got one sitting down here that's not even plugged in. I do what I want. I eat what I want. I live good. In fact, I've been eating too much. I got to cut back. My belly is starting to grow. We've just got it so good here, folks. We've got it good here, and we want to keep it that way. That's the point of all this. We want to keep it that way, and we know we can. And the reason why we've got to keep it that way is not only for us. We live a good life. We live a great life. But we have helped so many people in the history of this country. In many countries, I remember as a kid what was going on in Ethiopia. They had a severe, severe famine down in Ethiopia, and the people were starving. And who came to their aid? The United States came to their aid. I had a discussion this last week with somebody who was familiar with Grenada. I talk about Grenada occasionally. I went when I was in Trinidad. I was also down there going back and forth between Trinidad and Grenada. We remember in the 80s when Fidel Castro decided he was going to start taking over Caribbean islands, and he went into Grenada, and that was a big mistake because Ronald Reagan said, "Oh hell no," and he sent the troops down there, and they got Fidel Castro out of there pretty quick. But you go down to these places, and these people want to come to America. They want to come to America because of what we've got. And you go down there, and when they find out you're from the United States, they call you, "You're the Savior, thank you." I was thanked so many times, and I didn't have anything. I kept saying, I was a kid. I was in high school when Ronald Reagan did that back in the 80s when he went into Grenada. And they said, "Oh, no, we will forever thank America because we had a peaceful nation," and all of a sudden there were troops walking up and down our streets with guns. And Ronald Reagan came in, and he fixed that, and we'll be forever grateful. The United States has done so many things for so many different countries. Our buddies up here to the north of us, Canada, they've never really had a military of sorts, as you would say. We've always done the majority of the protecting for them, not that we've ever had to pull out our military and fight for them to secure their border, but we've always been here. They've always relied on our strength as kind of our neighbor, and the same with Mexico. Mexico, for many decades, has relied on our strength to help protect them. Many nations all over the country, all over the world, many nations all over the world have relied on our troops and our men and our women who are willing to die in battle, protecting and protecting freedom. And they've relied on us. Japan, Germany, we could just, the list would never stop. We live in a great country. It is an absolutely a wonderful place. we've got freedom here, and we're going to continue to have that freedom, even though the government decides they want to listen to everything we do. Hi, NSA, how are you doing? It's okay, because I'd love for you guys to be listening to everything I do. The only thing I could ask for is just make sure you read all my Facebook posts and listen to all my blog talk. You might learn something, because this is a great country. And, you know, Dan, we're coming up to the top of the hour. We're coming up to that time where, you know, where we sing M-I-C, see you real soon, K-E-Y. Why? Because we like you. But it's been a great show, Dan. We've talked about some important things. You and I have both gotten a little bit hot under the collar. I'm really mad at some candidates right now in Texas. My fury is been coming out in my posts, and I'm going to be making some phone calls. Dan Branch, you're going to get, if you're still listening at this point, you're going to get a phone call from me, because you're not acting the way adults are supposed to act. You're just flat out not acting the way adults are supposed to act. I expected that in California. I really did. I, you know, you just learn to live with it. But I moved here to Texas, where people are supposed to have a little bit more manners. We say yes, sir, and no, sir, here, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, here in Texas. There's a little bit different atmosphere, and to have that kind of stuff. So, you know, and Dan, on your topics, you get under the collar. That's what this is all about. Old Mark Levin's been doing the same thing for a long, long time, and he's got lots of listeners doing it. so does Rush Limbaugh. Sean Hannity doesn't quite get that angry very often, but Savage does. That's what the blog talk radio is about sometimes. You know, because when you're writing a post, you can sometimes convey some emotion, but you can't convey any kind of emotion next to what you can with your voice. So I will pass it back to you, Dan, for your concluding remarks real quick, and then I'll take it back, and we'll announce the rest of the shows that we've got coming up, and then we will close it out.
I agree with this, Scott. This is a wonderful medium where we can show our emotions. And you know something? We're doing it for a cause, for a reason, not because we're happy and want to get our name out. We're doing it because it needs to be done. And, yeah, I got angry. And for those of you who would like to follow what I, Scott and I do, you know, follow our posts on our home pages. We always have something, you know, that we're going to put out. And I promise you, beginning next week, beginning on Monday, I'll be back to doing my daily posts. And, you know, I really encourage all of you to read them. I put a lot of research time into them. I make sure that what I'm saying is the truth. And I also will keep you appraised of whatever is happening today. I'll do a lot of work on the what happened in our history, because I believe that history is the best learning example we have in our nation, because history repeats itself, and what's happening in this nation is nothing new. 50 years ago, it happened in Cuba. It's happening over in, sad to say, but over in Ukraine right now. And it happens cyclical all over the world. And all we ask is let's stop the getting on this stupid roller coaster. You know, the definition of stupidity is trying to do the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Well, we've been making these stupid mistakes for thousands of years. Isn't it time we stop and learn from them? All we ask is follow us, and through what the words that we speak, you'll find out the truth will come out. And if you follow what we're saying and what our forefathers said, you will see prosperity in this nation that has never been seen anywhere on earth before. We've already proven it works. And we have another side who doesn't want that to happen. Because we want to empower each and every one of you. Not ourselves. I'm not out after glory. I'm not out after anything. I'm after saving a country I love. And beyond that, you know something? I would be perfectly happy to fade off into obscurity and spend the rest of my life with my family being happy and knowing that our freedom and our Constitution is safe. And that's all I care about. Beyond that, the rest is just semantics. And what I'm asking each and every one of you, after you listen to this episode, close your eyes, no matter how old you are, and think of your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. What do you want for them? What do you want for them? Do you want them to enjoy the same freedoms that you and I were blessed with? Or do you want to see them being ruled by a tyrannical government? I think I know the answer. But for us to stop this, we must get off our ducks and get active. Now, please, each and every one of you, do as we ask, because we can't do it alone. It's time to say, not, well, the other guy is going to do it for us. We can't do it alone. We need your help. Each and every one of us need your help. We're out here in the trenches fighting each and every day. Not asking, and, you know, you find out how much money any of us make. And it's zero. Why? Because we are not here to make money. We aren't like Al Gore, who wants to take every penny he can so he can include his net wealth. We aren't out after anything. We aren't Soros or anybody else who just is driven by money. We're driven by God. And we're driven by what is right. And please, get on your knees. Ask God for guidance. Look at our post. We'll help you in any way we can. We have politicians around the country we are trying to support. And our only failure is that we only can do so much. So we need people to pick up the ball elsewhere and to carry on with what we're doing and spreading the word, because eventually we'll win. And with that, may you all have a wonderful week, and may God bless each and every one of you, but most importantly, may God bless America. And with that, I'll pass it on to you, Scott, for some closing remarks.
Thanks, Dan, and it was a great show as always. We always have a great time. So glad you're out of the hospital and back going. It's always we miss you when you're not, that's for sure. And you are hereby demanding to stay healthy, and the hospital down there has got plenty of its own wings. You don't need to be providing some side wing named the Dan Wilson wing of whatever hospital you're in. So stay home, my friend. Stay healthy. You're always in my prayers. you're daily in my prayers, my friend, because you're somebody special to me. It was a great show. We got other great shows coming on. Remember, this is Saturday. Saturday Symposium will be on again next week, 11 o'clock Texas time, 12 o'clock and 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock, the other 49 states times. Sorry, Dan, I just can't help myself. And so each week we do this, and we're going to have some guests coming on. We're working on putting some guests together, so we're going to have some great shows this next few weeks. And then Monday night, the Terrell Graham story. Tune in. You don't want to miss this. It's going to infuriate you, some of the craziness going on. Tuesday night, American Sovereignty. Dan and I get back together, and we're joined by Jennifer Montrose down in Alabama, talking about sovereignty issues, talking a lot about Common Core, talking about all kinds of things that go on to try and encroach upon our personal sovereignty, our local sovereignty, our state sovereignty, and even about some of the people in our country that would like to give away our federal sovereignty to the UN. I am sure the flag story will be brought up again next week. I don't know how many shares we have seen, and I'm going to call and talk to the school this week, the beginning of this week, and see if they've got anything they'd like to give us any comments. So that's Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Texas time, 10 o'clock Florida time. Of course, that's 7 o'clock California time. Where's California again? Somewhere over there on the West Coast. And then, of course, on Thursday, Conover U with Rodney Lee Conover. We had a great show. Rodney's really getting his bearings on this show, doing a great job. He was, you know, we're working on about, we just finished our third show. It takes a couple of shows to really get to running with his feet. He sounded more comfortable this last week than I've heard him in a long time. He's really off and running, and we're having a great show. We're going to talk a lot about politics, a lot about current events. Sometimes we laugh, sometimes we cry. And then, of course, our flagship show of Contending for Truth Radio. The reason why we've got this network in the first place is Ladies Bible Class, 10:30 California time, 12:30 Texas time. At 10:30 in Springville, California, the ladies gather up at either Jean's house or they gather up at Betty's house. And they sit around the dining room table. They have donuts and they have cinnamon rolls and they have coffee. They set the old laptop out there in the middle of the table, and the ladies gather around the table. And Scott Osborne gathers around the table here in Mesquite, Texas, two time zones later, and we're wandering through the Old Testament, folks. We had a great show this last week. If you want to get an idea of what the show's like, this last week's show, this last Friday's show, is an excellent show to cut your teeth on. We had a great show. I would encourage everybody to listen to that one. Talking a little bit about Jezebel, talking a little bit about the temple, talking a little bit about how that all applies to the church today. It's important, folks. You know, we go back to the Old Testament and we realize that God was not a God of, okay, here's a few ideas, you do the rest however you want to do it. God's a very specific God. He's always given man exactly what he wants to do, and he expects man to follow it a certain way. It is our responsibility to get in there and make sure we're doing it. Because the Bible says there's going to be many that say, but Lord, Lord, and he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you, because it's just always going to be that way. A remnant's always been saved, and so it's a good show. Go back and listen to last week's show, and then join us again this next Friday as we continue wandering through the Old Testament. It's important. And with that, we are going to sign off. We're going to sign off, as we always do, with Red Skelton. We're going to let Red take it away, and until next Saturday. This is Saturday Symposium with Dan Wilson signing off. Hey, Red Skelton, can you tell us one more time about that teacher you had in Vincennes High School?
I remember a teacher that I had. Now, I went through the seventh grade. I went to the seventh grade. I left home when I was 10 years old because I was hungry. I work in the summer and I go to school in the winter. But I had this one teacher. It was the principal of the Harrison School in Vincennes, Indiana. To me, this was the greatest teacher, a real sage of my time, anyhow. He had such wisdom. And we were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day. And he walked over, this little old teacher, Mr. Lasswell was his name. Mr. Lasswell, he says, I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester, and it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may, May I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word? I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom. Wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts freedom is everybody's job. United, that means that we have all come together. States, individual communities that have united into 48 great states. 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose. And that's love for country. And to the Republic. Republic, a state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people, and it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people, for which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation, and justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others, for all, which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance, under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer, and that would be eliminated from schools too?